Friday, that gentleman.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the second hour of the program that starts now. It's a three-hour extravaganza we call the Press Box, and we love you guys, our listeners. We know most of you by name, especially in our more than valuable Twitch chat, which on a daily basis is over 100.
Come on, Twitch. Everybody knows. She's only DTF for the first 6 months. After that, you have to practically beg for it. That's why Joel gets laid twice a year, because he's married and he has kids. That's how it works.
By the way, if those were the numbers, then I would be elsewhere. So you are far-fetched in that regard. But
she's
say this, and you brought it up. But I got enough buddies and still play hoops with a ton of other guys, all my friends, that will tell you the same thing. The bait and switch that's unfair is when a woman just wants to go all out to get you, and then once she's got you, whether it's just to lock you down into being an exclusive relationship or being married or whatever, they suddenly feel like, oh, well, we got the goods, we got the contract, so we don't have to do that anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
Other prerequisite is once you have kids. A lot of guys tell me, hey, you know what? Once we had the kids, the wife said, oh, we don't have to do that anymore because we have kids. Well, that's how do you think you got the kids in the first place?
Yeah. It went from doing it in the living room, on the couch, on the table. Now it's only missionary in the bedroom. That's what happens. And it only takes 6 months. For some of them, it takes 6 weeks because they think they're all locked in after 6 weeks. Now, Crystal and Queen Spice and all of them are saying, I'm just picking the wrong chicks. I don't think that's the case. I don't.
But for you to say that I'm only getting it twice a year. I mean, I got two kids. I've got a gorgeous wife. So, I mean,
okay, three times a year,
wrong.
Tops.
Not even close.
I'm telling you, married women don't like sex anymore.
That's why you're not married, because you have no idea.
Idea?
You have no idea. Well, you know what? We're just going to bring accents per segment. I think we could do each segment in a different accent, and we could appease our text line. But this is the one that hits home the most, because you know what? They think like this. They just don't want to talk like it. They don't want to have people bring it to the table. They might actually sound like this. That's why they don't call in. Hey, Joel, I want to talk to you about what you said. You're a Packer-loving, listening to 610 kind of guy.
Now, missionary Karen, I'm giving her 3 months. I'll give her 3 months. 3 months, she's an absolute freak. After that, she's out at Astros games telling everybody to bleep off. She's not. She don't got time for you. She just wants to be an Astros hater.
You know, I think that here's the thing. Can we identify any Astros fans that look like that or act like that or have been on TV
There's got to be Astros
fans. I haven't seen them like that.
They can act that crazy. The thing is, the camera ops at Minute Maid are probably smart enough not to put them on the feed. Now, in this particular instance, it's a national story. They probably were looking for crazy fans, like the lady that was trying to inflate the garbage can and was struggling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably was never going to be.
With all the hot air in New York, how could you possibly struggle blowing up a damn
Did you see the video?
Garbage can? Yeah, just, I mean.
That was sad.
Oh, there's no doubt, Klopp, she's a smoker, too. Whether it's you're blowing up the can or the Yankee chicken tank top.
I think it's
top,
a cigarette.
They're going to have emphysema in the next 3 years.
If there wasn't so many types of cigarettes these days, she would have been that chick from back in the day smoking Virginia Slims. She would have been that chick. Who used to smoke Virginia Slims back in the day?
Oh, so the documentary of the day, Nick, on Reels, was Britney Spears.
Really? Well, she did go crazy, so there's probably an amazing story that goes along with that. I actually would watch that. Did you watch the whole thing?
I watched it. The thing is, I didn't realize this, and I don't know how any adult that's not completely mentally incompetent and has other problems should have a conservancy so that their parents make all their decisions for them. The fact that, and this is why I think it came up a few months ago when people were already going way back to, this is like Yankee fans. People were going back to Justin Timberlake owes Britney an apology and all this stuff. That's water under the bridge. He's married with kids. So is she, and then she's not, and then she is. No, she's not. But it doesn't matter. They've moved on. I don't think you have to go that far back. But the fact that Yeah, at a couple times in her life, she's had some less than stellar moments. She's had some run-ins with some demons.
I mean, when she gave herself a fade, that was a red flag.
Oh, when she shaved her head. But the fact that her dad still controls not just all of her finances, but that he has to sign off if she wants to get married. He has to sign off if she wants to buy a car or a house or anything expensive. It's like, she's going to be 40 soon, and yet she still has to have daddy sign off on all this stuff?
No.
She had a residency in Vegas for 2 years. She got $500,000 per show.
I mean, when you're looking hot and you're making the decision to go to the salon and against your stylist's advice to take the clippers and shave your head, I think that's a big enough red flag for me. Like, you know what? Maybe you need to
But that was back in the day. She's already reestablished. She's already settled down.
So I'm assuming they got her to sign her rights away, like when she was in a bad state of mind. I'm assuming.
The court did it. So they took her. So like I said, I watched a documentary this morning where the parents were concerned about her mental stability based on everything she was dealing with whether it be alcohol and drugs or how she was handling her divorce. And they said someone has to step in so that she doesn't create a really bad financial situation for herself and spend a ton of money and do other things. It was originally supposed to be temporary. Then it became long-term, but it could be revisited. And since then, no court has been willing to reopen it up. At one point, she got engaged to her longtime agent or manager or accountant. And this was in the last 10 years. And they gave him co-conservancy for medical decisions in case she needed medical attention like that. Didn't have to wait for her dad.
Right.
But all the financial stuff was still going through her dad first. And I'm going, it's her money. She's earning it. She's bringing in these massive amounts, but yet she can't decide how to spend it?
Yeah, I mean, because she is the type of artist that despite not being relevant like on the terrestrial radio platforms all over the country, she's going to just kill it. She's Britney. She's established. She's accomplished. Her name kind of doesn't go away. You brought up Katy Perry and how she's going to start doing shows in Las Vegas. When Britney was not relevant at all, when Taylor Swift or any of the biggest pop stars that were females were big, she was still killing it in Las Vegas despite not having...
She did 2 straight years. She broke all the records. She's the greatest pop star to ever have...
She was killing it, and she can still kill it.
Yeah, I forget what they call it, a residency. She is the highest grossing and most popular residency in the history of Vegas. She got $10 million for doing that 1 year of judging like Simon Cowell's America's Got Talent. And they said that after a year she quit because Simon wanted her to be ruthless and mean. And she had too much compassion for the performers and couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But that it actually helped her image. But I'll tell you this. I'll see your Katy Perry and your Taylor Swift and all of your little chickies that you love now. And I'll put Britney on top of all of them. She kills all of them.
Agreed. She's a performer. She's a better singer.
She's hotter than all of them.
Is she still now? She still got a fastball now?
She got it back. She's now dating her trainer / personal. The guy's a personal trainer and a life coach and whatever like that. And he's a big rocked up dude. But she's got herself in tip-top shape again.
Well, good. Well, good for her. She needs to be in tip-top shape because for a while.
Toxic, that video?
Oh, ooh. She was hot. Mm-mm-mm. Hot. Mm-mm-mm. And look, she's pushing 40, so.
Because I think she's 39 right now.
Oh, she is? Oh, she's not there. Quite 40 yet. Okay. Well, I don't know. I know she was about my age because I remember when she came out, when Hit Me Baby One More Time came out. I think I was either in high school or about her age. So.
Wait, Kevin Federline.
I mean, he
talk about catching the home run deal. He was a backup dancer.
Try to become a rapper through her.
Ugh.
Which that didn't work.
Tried a whole lot of things that didn't work. And then for each year being married, he got $500,000. And then he gets $20,000 a month per kid in child support. So $40,000 a month. And he's doing nothing.
See, now, if you want to be that girl who's DTF the first 2 or 3 months and no longer be DTF, I'll be okay with it if you're Britney Spears or if I can get some spousal support. Otherwise, why am I staying with you?
Donna tuned out. She's not happy with you today.
Is she really?
Yeah. She said, I'm done with you, Nick. And she said, I'm out.
Well, that's because Laminate.
Well, that too. I said that. I said, Donna, let's be honest. It's because Barry's on. But she was getting offended that you were not.
At one point,
nice
Donna was trying to hook me up with her daughter, and then she backed down. I don't know what I did. She was like, this is my daughter.
You spoke. That's what you did. And then she got pissed off.
I met her at Nick's place, and maybe she wasn't into me. I don't know.
Who could do that? You're irresistible to the female presence. I mean, how could anyone say that? That's terrible. Even Clarence said, Brittany has a four-seam fastball. Yes, she does. And you know what? Unlike so many of these other performers, especially as they get older and they need surgery and they have to rely on surgery to kind of keep their fastball, she doesn't. And I don't believe she's ever had any enhancements. I don't think it looks like she's had any work done. And yet she, when she brings it and she's on top of her game, I don't care how old she is, she's way better than that freaking pogo stick you
who,
like.
Who?
Taylor Swift.
Listen. I'm not going to let you just talk bad about Taylor Swift because you like Britney Spears.
Or Pinocchio in Bloom. Or Katy Perry, whatever you call her, with her little short dark hair and
who's the one
Orlando
that has the pipes,
Bloom.
Which she was kind of thick? It's her birthday today. Trey was Adele.
Adele is a great singer.
She has amazing pipes.
Yeah.
I think it's her birthday today. I think
that's right. It's also Cinco de Mayo, Nick. You going to go out and celebrate? This just in, besides deals on drinks.
Don't you dare call it Mexican Independence Day.
No, but there's going to be lots of queso served. I bet you should be out there and partaking.
I didn't know it competes with Super Bowl in terms of alcohol sales. It's crazy.
I think it's Cuervo that if you send your receipt, if you go to a Mexican food establishment and you purchase a Cuervo and you have to tip at least 20%, Cuervo, there's a chance we'll reimburse you for all of it.
Really?
Today, through the 9th. To look into that.
Man, I had my tequila yesterday. I should have waited till today. But you know what? It ain't going to stop me.
So, of course. XPBX always come in with the negative. She had her work done in the early 2000s. What were you, the doctor? Were you on Botched?
But her work was, but back then, lips and all that facial stuff wasn't as popular. It was just basically boobs.
She didn't have her. Let me just say this. See any video you want. There's no way she had her boobs done.
No?
No.
No, come
look,
on.
Look in the break. Tell me when we come back.
Is that a fact, though? She's
no,
never...
I just think from a keen eye.
But you couldn't tell. Okay. Maybe.
Those look like Natty Lights. They don't look like Foster's Lager. It's a beer, Nick.
Clarence better be careful talking about Britney Spears. His wife might be on Twitter calling him out like she did last time.
And Clarence is doing a lot in all caps today, too. We need to tone that down. Stop yelling. All right, just a segment into the second hour of the program. Lots more to get to. That includes you, so stay right where you are. It is the Press Box on ESPN.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on the box, second hour of the program. Having a lot of fun with you guys today. Nick is definitely in the crosshairs today. He has stirred up females. He has stirred up married people.
Just wish women would listen to Gene Knight more. After 6 months.
So now you're going to be listening to the lyrics, guy, after the conversation we had yesterday? You can't just enjoy the simple beat, and if it's got a beat, you can dance to it.
If you have the Gene Knight mentality after 6 months, hit me up on Twitter, at the producer Nick. But if you're like married people, like Joel, and don't get much action after 3 or 4 weeks, I don't want to talk to you.
At least it's going to beat your ass.
It's a good thing we haven't met in person yet.
Oh, but when you do, you thought Barry was going to get killed. She might dismember you.
But I'm going to hook up Tay with Sour Patch Kids, so it's going to be all
good.
Thank
God you said Sour Patch Kids. You said Jake from the freaking kindergarten. I'd have whooped your ass.
You're the one who brought him. Look, Jake could be a nice guy. You're the one who brought him up.
I told Lisa last night. I didn't tell her the other context of the rest of the conversation. I just told her about the fact that I had to mention the fact that half paying attention until Tay mentioned her friend Jake and what Jake likes, what she wears, and what she does at school. I'm like, well, I am going to be that dad, and Jake better slow his roll because I'm not going to allow that crap.
Poor little, what is he, 5 years old? He's going to get his ass knocked out
five
at five.
Or six. You know what? Old enough to defend himself.
He's old enough to get knocked out. Yeah, he's five,
knock
right?
Knock the hell out. That's right.
Just give him a little left hook.
I taught Taylor how to freaking, I taught Taylor enough self-defense, but I can teach some other kid down the street if I need to.
Jiu-jitsu,
hey, kid,
dude.
Nick's going to give you some Sour Patch Kids, too, if you go over there and knock this Jake kid on his ass.
Jiu-jitsu. I cannot encourage you and Lisa more. Jiu-jitsu.
You know what? And I've told Lisa that. There's a chance.
I would strongly encourage that. No one's messing with her if she's got, she's like a blue belt. And she and their brains are such a sponge at this age. She can probably learn so quickly.
Now Eric Resendez, and I appreciate this, gave me the umpire scorecard on Jose Navas, who was behind the plate last night, who caught my and your ire and several other people.
Now I got, what's his name? Because I want to find out if he's the one that made the McCutcheon
call. Jose Navas, N-A-V-A-S. Called 169 of 188 taken pitches correctly. I wonder of those 20 that he missed or 19 that he missed, I wonder how many were against the Astros. Overall favor was a almost run difference for the Yankees. New York plus 0.09, Houston minus 0.7. His overall consistency was 92%. The average for umpires in baseball, 96%. 10 of 130 balls were inside the established strike zone. His worst missed calls in terms of change and run expectancy, top of the fourth, Herman to Tucker, two outs, runner on third, called him out on strike three on a 2-2 count, Tucker, that is. Bottom of the eighth, Joe Smith. The fact that they're not mentioning the Abreu pitches. The other one was Herman to Correa, one out, runner on second, 2-0 count, ball is called a strike. That was one of multiples that I thought were out, even in that Correa at bat.
I think we're just, I think it's, the proof is in the pudding. You know, he's just not that good of an ump. And he was indeed the guy that made that bad call with Andrew McCutcheon. It was 4 days ago. And he called Andrew McCutcheon out for leaving the baseline on a double play attempt by the Mets.
That's
Francisco
the one I was telling
Lindor.
You about, dude. That was awful.
That was him. And he called him out on a double play. And it was a game-changing call. Like, it was a bad call. Like, it impacted the game that much. So the guy has, there's precedent of him making really, really bad calls. The replay, it was pretty clear. He kept running. And not only the live action, but the replay, the slow-mo replay, it looked like McCutcheon was running, and then he slid in a straight line. There was no reason
never
for
touched
him.
The grass, never went out of the baseline, never bowed out real wide. Well, so this is what I'm talking about, because the thing that is, this is probably part of the Rob Manfred conspiracy. How can you not have the two pitches that Abreu threw to Odor that were both called balls that both ESPN and the AT&T Sportsnet broadcast clearly showed and called and referred to as being inside the box? We all saw them. And don't say, you know, you could say the impact of the other ones, which are all possibilities with Tucker, who can't hit out of a wet paper bag, and Correa, who watches too many good pitches anyway. But the fact that you ended up walking Odor, so you got to DJ LeMahieu, and on DJ LeMahieu's at bat, that's the one that was the dribbler to Bregman that cost him three runs. So if Abreu gets those pitches called correctly, Odor, one, may never get on. He may make an out. And you definitely don't have at least one of those runs score because of the fact that LeMahieu would have never come up to bat in that situation.
Yeah. I don't understand. And is MLB going to look at this dude and say, you know what, maybe you need to be held back a few games? Or maybe when the intensity is high, like the Astros and the Yankees series, maybe you shouldn't be the person. We've seen what inexperienced umpires and officials can do at all levels, at all three major sports, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA. We saw what happened with the NFL when the officials went on strike. That was a disaster.
You know, and here's the thing, Nick, and I said this over and over again. The NBA did the same exact thing when they covered for the Tim Donaghy situation, because they knew that it was going to be a pandemic if there were more, because then they were going to question the results of every series, the results of every championship. You know, everything was going to be in question, and then the validity of basketball in general, the NBA basketball in general, as being a fair sport. And they didn't want that. And it's the same thing with Rob Manfred in baseball. If it turned out to be all these teams that were reported to have cheated, and it turned out to be a widespread issue, the luster would be off baseball. It would be a horrible look. There'd be people questioning everything left and right for a sport that already has a hard time marketing its players and getting numbers up in terms of attendance and
just
viewership.
Give stars. They just need more stars in general.
But even the stars they have, most people can't identify Mike Trout.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's a big problem when the best player in your game cannot identify Mike Trout. And it's not a situation where they're always wearing helmets like in the NFL. So you can kind of understand it to a certain extent. Some of the best players or most known players in the NFL may not be that easy to recognize because they're always wearing a helmet. But, you know, in the sense of in baseball, why is it that difficult? I never understood that. But, I mean, you can blame it on pace of play or how long the game is, and we're going to get into a really, really long discussion if we go down that road. But
yeah, we're not going there. It's just you have to be accountable, right? And you can't.
Can't they just go and just like you said they did with you and the Rockets in the NBA? You would go look back at tape and look, hey, this official, he tends to make this a bad call. When he officiates this type of play, this is what he blows the call for, and this is really wrong. Don't they do that? Don't they have that same dynamic in MLB?
Well, the last 2 minutes is what the NBA calls it, the day after, where they have to report where they miss things. But at least for the most part, they're honest and they don't. This right here, this report is inaccurate to me because you're missing the biggest turning point in the game, which were the two strikes that Abreu threw to Odor that weren't called.
Yeah,
those are the ones that have to be front and center. Don't give me some fourth inning call on Tucker, or don't give me Joe Smith in the eighth when the game was already decided. Give me the ones that were the most meaningful. And the thing, Nick, that we started the show with is, and look, from a pitcher's perspective, pitching all the way through college and always watching the game of baseball and being a baseball aficionado, all you can ask for is consistency. So if you're not calling the low strike tonight, don't call the low strike for either team. Then the pitchers can adjust. If I know you're not going to give me the low strike, then I'm going to have to make adjustments. Okay? But if I go out and you're not giving me the low strike, and then when I'm sitting on the bench, I watch the pitcher for the other team get three or four consistent low strikes, now I'm pissed off.
Yeah, because it impacts the game. It's too late in the game. It's one thing when this happens in the second or the third inning.
Right.
It's a whole different dynamic when this is happening in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning, and the score is still relatively close. That's a problem. That's a massive problem in MLB. I don't understand why they have that issue, but they do. I don't know if replay is going to be... if that's the solution, but yeah, I mean, they definitely need I would be okay with them reporting all their mistakes. I don't know if at Major League Baseball will do that, but what's wrong with it? You're supposed to go into it knowing that some of the people that you've hired as officials, as umps, are going to make mistakes because they're human. Why not report the last, I don't know, the two innings or something like that? I have no problem with that.
The thing to me is that you have to have transparency, and you have it with the telecasts now. Because they have K-Zone, so they have, on a pitch-by-pitch basis, a way of almost instantaneously telling you, you blew that one, you got that one right. And then when you take the 3D technology ESPN takes to it to take it a step further to show how much of the baseball actually caught a part of the zone, you know pretty much right after the pitch is thrown, did he get it right or did he blow it? So the fact that both telecasts last night, I'd be curious to see if the Yankees telecast could even own the honesty that it took to call that. But those two pitches that Abreu threw, they weren't even borderline. They were smack dab in the middle of that square, and they were not called strikes. They were called balls. That's a problem. In the sixth inning when all hell broke loose and the game got out of hand, it's a problem. And the fact that you didn't own it when you did this grading system, I don't even know if this is from baseball, MLB. This is probably just some third-party site that's trying to show you what they think.
Yeah, and how much they're trying to point out the wrongs of the MLB. Yeah, it could be that.
And the a-hole is probably from New York, so that's why he didn't put the Abreu pitches on there. All right, they're at it again tonight if you are interested, and all of us are, because the Yankees and the Astros are much CTV, and they're going to be at it again tonight and tomorrow in a day game. Lance McCullers will take on Garrett Cole. So we'll have plenty to talk about on that front. But there's lots of other things going on. Urban Meyer's made some moves with the Jaguars. Some people are upset about it. Bottom line is, that's what happens when you make changes in the front office. We saw it with Bill O'Brien. We can talk about that. We can talk about a whole lot more. Stay right where you are for the second half of the show. It's a Press Box ESPN. How you like me now?
Remember the time. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, it's The Press Box on ESPN 97.5, ESPN97.5.com. We were talking a lot about the missionary Karen that you found in the stands at the Astros game. We were talking a little bit about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay situation over there, a little bit of drama over there. We really haven't talked much basketball yet, though, Joel. I mean, not much going on in that world, at least from our standpoint, because of the Astros and the series that they're in. But obviously, we're getting close to the postseason. These games do matter, and a lot of teams are starting to play hard just so they can get in that play-in tournament. So here, in terms of the Rockets, I don't know what you got for me.
I got a lot for you. Let's start with the fact that that play-in tournament could be vital. Let's start with the fact that Portland's pick is owned by the Rockets as long as it's not in the top 14. So currently, Portland would be seventh. They're in a battle, and what people need to know is if they're in the play-in tournament and they don't end up getting into the actual top eight seeds, no matter where they finished in the regular season, that would impact whether the Rockets would get the pick or not. Because if they don't make the top eight by getting through the play-in tournament, then they don't make the playoffs, then they're definitely not a top, then their pick would definitely be in the top 14 and the Rockets wouldn't get it.
Okay.
So you are really hoping for Portland to either get to the sixth or higher or win the play-in tournament. From a Rockets overall perspective, they just got to keep doing what they're doing. It's interesting to me that Daryl Morey, and I don't know if he's going to be in town or not, but he brings the Sixers in tonight. They are in a massive fight with the Nets and the Bucks, and the Bucks ended up sweeping the Nets by winning again last night in another really good game that I watched. And now those three teams are separated by less than three games from one through three, and the positioning at home court is going to be vital for those teams. So Philly needs the win tonight. The Rockets need the loss. So it should be a no-brainer.
Well, I mean, I think it's important also to stress that they can control their destiny in terms of the first pick to a certain extent. I mean, if you have to depend on other teams being in a certain spot and seeding, then obviously you don't absolutely control your own destiny when it comes down to getting that first pick. You will hope that they get
to the Rockets or Blazers?
The Rockets, right? Because you said if the Blazers don't get to the number six seed, there's a possibility that they don't get that pick, correct?
Right.
Okay, well, so that means it's a safe indicator to say that they don't absolutely control everything in this situation.
Right. But and even if they get one of the they currently have the worst record in basketball. But even if they end up with the worst record, they only have a 52% chance of getting a top three pick.
Right.
So you understand that they have to be in the top four in order to keep it. So there's still more percentage points that go in their favor when it comes to their chances of getting the fourth pick and therefore still avoiding having to do the pick swap with OKC. But if 52% is the best chance you got for top three, then you still got to cross your fingers and get your rabbit's feet out and do all the things that you do for good luck because it's out of your control.
Yeah.
And now I see that Christian Wood's probably going to sit out a few games. I told you a while back we were never going to see Eric Gordon the rest of the season. John Wall's out. They have no business winning this game. And like I said, Philly needs it. So I don't expect to see the Rockets put up a big show tonight and upset the Sixers, nor should they. But I know how hyper important it is for the Rockets basketball staff to really, really have a firm grasp on the talent level in this college draft. Because you have to be so prepared for the opportunities that may present itself so that if you do have Portland's pick and your own pick and maybe you can get another pick, that you don't swing and miss on them. Because as we talked about, this isn't like the drafts of the past when you had a first round where if you had a top six pick, you could either get Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, or Darko Milicic. Now it's all based on potential. Potential can get a GM fired as quickly as they can get him an extension. And if you don't know everything about every player in this draft and really have guys earmarked that would fit your system, if you swing and miss, it's the difference between being relevant in 3 to 5 years and being relevant in 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, we talk about these big decisions that GMs have to make all the time and how impactful it could be. And that's just the nature of the game. I mean, that's you. If you make a bad decision as a general manager, you can impact this team and this fan base for years to come. Now, what's the conversation between Daryl Morey and, let's say, Tillman Fertitta now that he's...
I don't think they're talking. I think
straight
they'll be
up,
cordial.
Just avoiding each other?
I think that they would shake each other's hands, but I don't think they're talking.
They don't like each other.
I think that Tillman was really upset about how it all ended and the fact with the tweet that Daryl sent, with the fact that whether, and again, I had AJ and Granato coming at me when I first said it, and it never looked more true than it does today. Daryl Morey took Tillman Fertitta for a $10 million ride. He basically knew he was going to have another job that paid him more, and all he had to do was just say to Tillman, hey, want to buy me out so you don't have to pay me for the next several years? And he knew within a two-week time frame, he'd get $10 million in cash or more, and then when he walked, within 2 weeks, he'd have a better contract, a better salary, and the difference is being just a different name on the check, and he walked away. And in the process, he left all Rockets fans hanging because before he left, he cleared the cupboard of all these draft picks and all these assets and all these opportunities for the Rockets to get better quicker. And on top of that, then right after that, Harden and Westbrook wanted out, and it was just the tailspin from hell. So I don't think, as much as everybody used to sing the praises of Daryl Morey and say how great he was and love him and in Daryl we trust, you trusted a guy that absolutely left you bone dry on the way out of town. And I think from Tillman on down, the only person that's going to go out of his way to give him a hug and a slap on the back is going to be Tad Brown.
I mean, I figured it wouldn't be like an amazing, transparent conversation. And I did hear you talk for months on end about how Daryl Morey absolutely fleeced Tillman Fertitta. So I can see how Tillman Fertitta, being the businessman that he is, getting to where he has been, gotten, you know, from a financial standpoint, I can see how he has a little pride. Now, there's a question on the text line that asks, Suggs or Cunningham? I think I've been on record quite a bit. I feel like Joel agrees with me, but I prefer Suggs.
I do too.
I don't know if Cunningham's going to turn out to be a better player. I don't mind being wrong in that situation. I just feel like Suggs is more NBA ready.
So from my standpoint, when I've looked at these guys, watched tape, evaluated them, watched them play games, my big thing is, in terms of having an NBA body now ready to take the punishment on a nightly basis, you got a guy that was being pursued by Ohio State as a quarterback, as well as a point guard for a team that made it to the national championship game, that I do question his jump shot.
Okay.
But other than questioning his jump shot, I believe that he's got all the tools to step in right now and play. In a Cade Cunningham, he has the height. But has he filled out? Is he strong enough to take the grind of the NBA on a nightly basis? I don't think so. And the biggest thing that I question when I watch Cade Cunningham is, in the middle of the game and when he's rolling, he's good. In clutch time and in the biggest, tightest, toughest, nut-cutting situations, I think he shies away sometimes. I don't know. I question his killer instinct.
Okay.
And I also look for the best fit for this team. And I say that if I'm a Rockets exact looking at who fits this team best, Cade Cunningham probably fits it best because he's going to play small forward. Suggs fits it best if you believe, you know, which you and I believe, John Wall's gone in 2 years. He can learn some things from John Wall, and then he takes over your franchise.
Yeah.
I think, to me, based on the fact that in order to rebuild and with the picks you need and what you need to do, and you're stuck with John Wall, I still think Suggs is the guy, because if it takes him a little time to develop under John Wall, it could be a lot worse. And then once you're ready to turn the reins over to him, you've got a situation where you're going to be ready to go with other players like Porter Jr., like, you know, Christian Wood's going to, he's got 2 years left. You have to make a decision on him. But I think that for a lot of reasons, I agree with you. I think Suggs before Cunningham, but either one of those guys are clearly head and shoulders above the other, rest of the guys in the draft.
All right. Well, we got more NBA to come. We did tease some Urban Meyer news, so I guess, yeah, we'll eventually get to that so you don't think that we're going to forget about it. And I also want to get to some MMA stuff in the third hour. We'll talk about Chris Weidman's update. and that nasty injury that he had to deal with. All that and more on the press box. I don't know if Joel has anything on the table, but stay tuned in. Also, I still, by the way, everybody in the text line that's telling me to take back those words about women who are no longer DTF after a few weeks, I don't take it back. Because a lot of women are like that. And when you get to that point, I don't want to see you anymore. Sorry. If that's rude. I didn't call the lady in the Yankees stadium a bitch like Joel did. So I could
call her a lot worse. I don't care. What's she going to do? Come through the freaking social media and get me?
She might. You never know. Okay. This woman means business.
So does Nick. So bring it. Go at Nick hard. He's ready for it. We'll be back in just a matter of minutes right here on the Press Box ESPN.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, I'm answering some questions on the Twitch line in the break, as a lot of my loyals are asking questions. But the fact of the matter is that Nick was in the kitchen today, and he decided to stir it up. And he took that big wrought iron soup pot, and he just decided a soup ladle is not enough. I am going to stir it like it's never been stirred before.
Because it's true. So when I speak the truth, and there's people on the Twitch that are actually agreeing with me.
Twitch are sensible.
When you get married, sometimes the sex frequency goes down. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's just non-existent. And IOT, H-Town admits to it. Bam Bam 77 admits to it. And the techs apparently are mad. They're like, oh, you don't know nothing about women. No, don't get mad at me because you're not getting laid anymore. Okay, buddy? Don't get mad at me because you need the blue pill or where Joel goes, Apollo Men's Health to get it going. All right, buddy? Don't get mad at me. I'm just speaking truth. There's two people on the Twitch right now that absolutely agree with me. That's why Bam Bam has two side pieces on him at all times, he says. We're not going to reveal his real name. I know his real name, but I'm not going to do him like that.
Oh, you do?
Okay. I don't. But I'm just talking truth, and everybody's mad on the text line.
But Nick, you know, that's kind of like a microcosm of us on a daily basis. When we talk the truth, and it's something that someone doesn't want to hear, they're not rational enough to realize there's another side to whatever their opinion is, and we're just discussing it. They take it as, you just said something about my mama, so therefore I got to come at you 100 miles an hour with all the weaponry that I got in my holster.
Here's a text from the 832. I'm calling you that, man, because I get plenty of chicks, bro. Now here's everybody that's going to text and call in about all the chicks that
signed George Costanza, right? Like, we don't know and we don't care. It's not about that.
Don't get mad at me that you guys don't get laid anymore. I get it. I'm trying to speak out for you people. I'm trying to get your spouse to be more willing, despite, you know, the spice has gone down. That's why there's marriage couple therapy. And I guarantee you one of the biggest reasons that pops up is sex. That's all I'm saying.
Sex is a vital cog to any successful marriage. There, I said it.
Nick, I'm married. Even my side girl cut sex back on me after 6 months. See what I'm saying? I'm not the only one that thinks this. His side chick is cutting back now because she knows she's still going to get him. He knows every other Saturday he's still going to come over and they're going to go out and they're going to have dinner. She knows it's going to happen so she can cut back.
So can we look? I hate anointing anybody's suggestions because then they think they're executive producer. But Big Mike in the 409 did make mention of something that I did want to bring to get your opinion on, Nick. But did you see last night, right about game time, when 50 Cent decided to send out a picture that he loves New York, but he now lives in Houston?
I retweeted it, but I didn't know if it was him trolling or not. Can we confirm that this is true?
I have not seen any confirmation, but I saw some people saying welcome to the H, Some people, because of the Yankee series, saying we don't need you, go back. To me, it seems like there's something more behind this. Now, he was here a few months ago, and he did the tour of all the specs because he's pumping a new liquor brand. There's got to be something business-wise behind this, doesn't there?
That's what I thought. That was my first impression. I thought maybe – and look, there's nothing wrong to moving to another city if it's business-wise.
Sure.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think Elon Musk lives in Austin now.
He was thinking about building a factory.
I think it's there, or there's a location at least.
Is there?
If it's business, I'm not mad at it. And look, we all know 50 Cent is super New York. I didn't read the story. He's super New York. But if he wants to move, and how often are we seeing this time and time again, people wanting to move to Texas? That's why Texas is eventually going to turn into California. Why do you think Austin people are so defensive about California people moving to Austin? Because they're tired of it. They're tired of the high pace and everything being so expensive in New York and Los Angeles. That's why they come down here. They're tired of the traffic. We have bad traffic, but not to the extent of Los Angeles, let me tell you. And so I'm not shocked. I need to read more about the story because I'm not informed about it. But he seems so New York to me. I didn't think he would ever do something like that just because he's 50 Cent and he's just so New York to me. But I guess this is true.
So many questions. You mentioned Elon Musk. Why is he hosting Saturday Night Live?
He has charisma, in my opinion. I think he has personality.
There's a lot of people that were personally offended by this, too. There were, like, cast members that were against it.
Oh, really?
Tweeting against it.
Really?
Then he went out and said, do you guys, as fans, have ideas for sketches? And one of the cast members said, first of all, why don't you get it straight? It's called a skit. So they're getting sensitive already.
Uh-huh.
So it could get a little dicey since it is live TV.
It can. And apparently there's a culture over there behind closed doors with Saturday Night Live that a lot of us are not in tune with.
Okay.
And it gets pretty ugly.
Really?
Yeah. I think Barry used to school us on that stuff too, especially between writers and ideas, because there's essentially like a gauntlet, like a room where everybody's ideas being thrown on the table. And you might really, really like that idea, and it just might be cut out. You know, it's just the way it works. And it happens the same thing, I think, with the roast. Because I remember Ludacris was really, really defensive about the Paul Walker jokes during the roast.
Okay.
He wanted that cut out.
Okay.
And he was really, really mad at it. While others thought it was okay despite the fact that he died. So it can get pretty ugly in those type of cultures. So I can see how writers are very, and a lot of the people that work at Saturday Night Live, they've been there for years, like two decades, three decades. Some of them are new, but some of them are super old and they've been there forever.
The other thing about the Elon Musk situation, and because we mentioned this a few weeks ago when the story broke out in the Carlton Woods Spring area, he's adamant now that there was someone driving that car that exploded and took four the two gentlemen perished, and that it took 4 hours to put it out because of the battery.
I mean, if that's the case, that's the case. He did.
You've got to be able to prove that. Authorities on the scene said that that's not the case. Then they got the guy that owned the car that sold it to the guy that was driving it, and he came forth and said, I never paid to have the autopilot thing turned on, so it was never part of that car as far as I know. So then the mystery becomes, who the hell was driving that thing, and where the hell did they go?
I have no idea.
And how did they get out when the other two guys couldn't?
I have no idea.
It's just crazy.
It is crazy. It is insane, but it's from the way you're making it sound like, it's like XM or whatever, where you have to pay for a monthly service, but that doesn't mean the guy who bought the Tesla didn't either continue or initiate the auto driving service himself.
Yeah, maybe he can subscribe to it once he bought the car.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Yeah. Now, some people are saying 50 Cent's aunt is a U.S. rep for most of the Houston area. Others are saying he's here to film a TV show based on a true story that they are filming here in Houston. But you don't have to move here if you're filming a TV show, right? You just do it during production time.
I would imagine.
Whatever the case may be, I got no problem with him being here. I don't think it's an issue. I don't care if he's from New York or he wears Yankees hats like some people are being offended by. I really don't care.
What are Houstonians that are offended telling him?
Hey, the picture that you saw in front of the dome, was he wearing an Astros hat?
I don't know.
I didn't pay attention to that hat. I just know I'd seen some people say he's always wearing a Yankees hat, and because of the Yankee series, I'm sure it fired some people up. By the way, before we get to the final hour of the program, this is a thing that I don't think is a big story, but ESPN does, and they've put it on their front page. Urban Meyer fired four people within the Jaguars front office that were directly associated with football operations duties that had been there a long time. Here's the thing. We saw it when Bill O'Brien left, and when even before the new regime was brought in. They clear house, and new coaches get their own guys. Look, our friend Nick, my very, very good friend, was a casualty of Urban Meyer's staff as well. Keenan McCardell, a longtime legendary Jacksonville Jaguar.
Oh, they got rid of Keenan?
Before they could, he found himself a new job, and he left Urban on the doorstep because he was pretty sure that Urban was going to bring in his own guy, which he knew he was rightfully allowed to do. So Keenan got an opportunity to be the receiver coach for the Minnesota Vikings, who've got a damn good core of receivers.
Good.
And Keenan's going to stay in the league, and he's going to be an NFL coach. And once Urban found out about that, he was like, oh, no. Well, you know what?
Bye, Felicia.
You can fake it all you want, bro, but I ain't waiting to let you hold my destiny. I'm going to find the next gig that's best for me and my family.
Well, good for him.
And moved
look,
on.
I mean, look, it's a fair assumption by Keenan to assume that with Urban Meyer becoming the NFL coach. Now, at the same time, we did hear that audio clip of Urban saying, well, ultimately, it's an ownership decision who's going to pull the trigger on the draft. It's interesting to see how much say that guy really, really has, but... Yeah, I mean, it's not shocking that Keenan, what Keenan was doing is he was being proactive because he knew the nature of the situation. He's been around the league long enough to know that's how it goes.
So you got Trent Baalke's the new GM, Urban Meyer's the new head coach. Between the two of them, I don't care that these people had 66 years of experience with the Jaguars. If you didn't have experience working with one, if not both of the two new guys, you should expect that you are going to be asked to leave. Because they're going to get people that they know and trust to work for them. It's not a slap in the face to either side. It's just part of business. That's the way it happens. So I don't even think it should be that big of a story. I think the bigger story was when he hired the human performance guy from Iowa that had all kinds of bad reputation and then had to get rid of him. But other than that, I don't think it's a big deal. So we've got plenty more to get to in the final hour of the program. Before we get to that, Nick had mentioned it earlier, but you know what? If you're having issues as a man, I mean, you can either listen to Nick or you can go to Apollo Men's Health. Because if you go to Apollo Men's Health, they might be able to help you with some of the issues that might be the reason why your chick's just not happy with you. Because from the boardroom to the bedroom to the weight room, they can have you feeling, acting, and doing things like you did in your 20s. Because they take care of people. Dr. O and his staff know exactly what they're doing. They used to work at the other clinics, and then they figured out what worked, what didn't, and they decided, hey, let's do it ourselves so we can do it better. So that's what Dr. O did. He's got two locations conveniently located near downtown Houston. And David Kelly and his staff take care of you. They make you feel comfortable so that you can be honest with them. When they ask you questions, if you give them honest answers, they're going to give you a program and get you results that you thought you could never get to. That's the way they do business. I love them for that. That's why I go to see them. I get a B12 shot every week. I get my blood checked. I do blood pressure, I do body comp analysis, and it's all because they give you results, and it's quick. You're in, you're out, you know what you need to do, and you're on your way. From all the different ways that they can help both men and women with hormone therapy to body composition analysis to recovery methods that can get you feeling better quicker, they've got you taken care of. Check them out today, apollomh.com. Set up that first appointment. When you do, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. And by the way, you mentioned my name and ESPN Radio. You're going to get that free B12 shot on your first visit. They take care of you. They're good people doing great things. Check them out today. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5.